Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Before I say another word, I got to say this word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Maybe that's two words. Thank you, thank you. Thanks to all of you who chimed in for our winter share yesterday and the day before. You're so wonderful, so faithful, so in the game, in this big kingdom story, and just can't thank you enough for your participation. And we just bless you and thank you. Did I say thank you? Though, there it is. Well, here's my question for you today. What parts of your past still deeply impact you today? What parts of your past still deeply impact you today? I am going to be opening up the phone line several times throughout this hour because I want to know from you, are there things that are still plaguing you, things that you've actually tried to reconcile, but you just, they seem unredeemed? Do you have a part of your life story that feels unredeemed? Like maybe God hasn't fully restored it yet? What if he's offered restoration, but you and I have yet to lay hold of it? Well, my guest today is also my friend and fellow author, James Rubart. He's the author of many great books. Today, we're talking about his latest novel, The Long Journey to Jake Palmer, where we'll explore some of these topics in this next hour. Before we get Jim on, I want to just a couple quick announcements for you. Excuse me, if you listen often enough, you know, every year at this time, we do something we call the Great Giveaway on Live the Promise. Our hope and prayer is to mobilize thousands of you to engage in random acts of kindness. And every year we do this, and we dedicate one show. That show is next Thursday, a week from today, December 22nd. And every year we do this, I hold my breath and go, okay, what if this is a year? Nobody does anything and nobody calls. Well, I'll tell you, we're already receiving stories in by email, and that's just such a great blessing to me. I'm asking you to, and when you get to the webpage on Live the Promise on our Faith Radio page, at the top, you'll see the great giveaway just for more information there. One of the questions you'll see, it says, what's the best thing you can do with $15? You know, that's just a starting place, and maybe you don't have $15. What's the best thing you can do with what's in your hand? Some have more than that, some have less. The point is to get out of the rat race and the hustle bustle and look for someone in need and do something and get creative. Now, we're doing something a little bit different because I was on medical leave. We got about a 3-week late start on this thing. So when you go to the Great Giveaway page on my Live the Promise page, okay, I want you to send your story in. As soon as you've done your random act of kindness, send your story in. The first 100 of you will get a free copy of my new book, Your Powerful Prayers, along with a sweet treat, sweet candy treat. I still want you to call in next Thursday. We want to fill the phone lines with stories. And then the two most inspirational stories will get a great gift basket of Faith Radio books, books off of our shelf, and some fun Christmas movies and some goodies. I always hear from somebody that says, doesn't feel right to do a good deed and then come tell about it like I'm bragging. And you know what the Bible does talk about? Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But the Bible also says that let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There's something about a testimony, and I'm telling you, this is like I'm commissioning you to be a missionary, to go on a mini mission project and come back and tell us about it. Missionaries do this all the time. They come back and say, this is what God is doing in me, through me, all around me, and I want you to know about it. Your testimony, I'm telling you, will beget more testimony. So will you engage in the great giveaway? More information on the Live the Promise show page. Another one way you could possibly do that is through Angel Tree. We're partnering with them this year. Again, always love to do that. Don't know if you knew this, but 1 in 28 American school-age children have a parent in prison this holiday season. Isn't that amazing? So truly, you making a donation to Angel Tree, and this may be your great giveaway, right? $99 actually will help reach 6 kids with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message from their incarcerated parent. Maybe that's your avenue. You pray about it. That information on Angel Tree is also on our website, myfaithradio.com. Okay, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. James Rubart is 28 years old. No, he's not. But lives trapped inside an older man's body. Okay, yes, he is. Okay, let me say that again. This is his bio, and it's really true about him. Jim Rubart is 28 years old, but he lives trapped inside an older man's body. He thinks he's still young enough to water ski like a madman and dirt bike with his two grown sons and loves to send readers on journeys they'll remember months after they finish one of his stories. He's a best-selling Christie, Carol, and Inspi and RT Book Reviews Award-winning author of 8 novels as well as professional speaker. He lives with his amazing wife on a small lake in eastern Washington. We're honored to have him back on the show. Dear Jim, welcome back to the program.
Oh, Susie, it is so fun to be with you.
Okay, I just got a little stressed. I thought, are we talking Jake Palmer here in your bio? And then I just realized you are a young man trapped, and you're not an older man, but but I know you're not 28, so that, anyway.
No.
Yeah, so welcome.
Not chronologically.
Yeah, but yeah, in soul and spirit, definitely. So, Jim, we all, you know this, you've been on the show plenty of times. We love to start out by talking scripture. Wondering if you have a verse you've been thinking about these days.
I have been. It's a verse that's familiar to people, but that's okay. I want to read it again and unpack it just a little bit. And that is, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived. Some translations say, what has not entered the heart of man, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And what I want to say about that, Susie, is we go, that sounds great. All right, right on. And we miss the implications of this. In other words, you take every movie that you've seen where you've just seen something so spectacular, it makes you go, oh my gosh. Or you've been in worship and you've felt the Spirit of the Lord and you've just said, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Or you've seen a sunset or an ocean wave or had a moment with a friend or a spouse or a child. Okay, you take all those things and you go, as good as those moments were, you cannot even imagine, even if you try to make things so much better than that, you're not going to even come close to what God has prepared for us. Mm. And you dwell on that and you think about, oh my gosh, if somebody said, oh, Susie, hey, we're going to do a surprise party for you, and it's going to be just so unbelievably epic, it's just going to be the pinnacle of your life, and you're going, and you're anticipating it, and you're imagining what it could be. And then that surprise party turns out for you to be so far beyond what you expected. That's what God has prepared for us. And I just kind of get excited about that.
I love it. What a timely message. So many people are grieving the loss of a loved one in this season, or just that would look back and say, man, 2016 was a tough year for me. But when the Bible talks about to not set your mind on things below, but on the realities of heaven, there, we have to think eternity if we're going to make it and not just survive, but thrive in this journey, right?
Well, that's exactly right, and we can thrive in it, because Paul says, do not focus on the things that are seen.
Yeah.
Focus on the things that are unseen. But I confess, in my life, I focus on all these seen things, and I put my treasure in them, and I put my expectation in them, and I put my hope in them, and Paul goes, no, that's not going to work. You want to have a life of the kingdom now? Boy, your focus has to be on those unseen things. And when we start to do that, and I have moments, just moments in the day when I do that, and this thing wells up in me, and I realize, oh my gosh, eternity isn't something that's coming. Eternity is something that I can access right now. The kingdom is something I can access right now if I do concentrate on those unseen, eternal things.
Mm, wow. Talk to us now about the inspiration behind The Long Journey to Jake Palmer. We'll get to the storyline, but how was it first born in your heart?
Well, it wasn't born in my heart. It was born in my amazing wife, Darcy's heart. We were brainstorming. Yeah. Yeah. So if you like the book, those of you who read it or those of you who end up reading it, thank her if you liked it. If you didn't like it, blame me. But how it happens, Susie, is I was brainstorming with Darcy on what should my next book be about. And when the boys were young, like 8 and 10 years old, our two sons, 8 and 10 years old, we used to go to this little lake. And one day we anchored our boat at the end of the lake, and there was just this huge wall of cattails, and beyond the cattails, this big wall of trees. And I said, guys, why don't we try to see if we can anchor the boat and swim through the cattails and get through the trees and see what's on the other side? They said, okay, Dad, yeah, that'd be fun. Well, when we got to the other side, it opened up into this big meadow. And of course, being the person of imagination I am, I said, oh my gosh, we have entered into a new realm. We've entered into a new land. And we made up all these stories about where we were, you know, what world we were in, kind of like, you know, Narnia.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's years ago. Well, over the years, we'd take friends through what we started calling the corridor. And so as Darcy and I were brainstorming, she said, well, why don't you write a story about the corridor? And that if somebody finds the corridor, make it a lost corridor, a legendary corridor where nobody can find it. But if you do find it and get through to the other side, you get the thing you want most in the world. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's my story.
That's brilliant, Darcy. Wow. And
yeah.
Okay, so lay out the story, the storyline, who Jake Palmer is and how you fit it into this storyline.
Yeah, so Jake Palmer is this guy who's just gone through some horrific things. Had a horrible accident where half of his body was burned. His wife leaves him. And now he's facing life without her, without his security in, you know, his physical body. And life is just not good. Well, he has these friends that every year, the six of them, including his wife, for nine years, they've gone to this lake and had this retreat during the summer. And he goes, well, I'm not going. I can't face those memories without her there. And finally, his friend convinces him to go and some other things that I won't spoil in the book. And they end up at this lake, minus, of course, his ex-wife. And then he hears of this legendary corridor at the end of this lake that they're staying at. And I'm not going to give any more away than that, but that's kind of the setup.
Well, true. You know, this part is in the beginning, so I hope this is okay to say, but that he's a motivational speaker. So he's saying things to people that he's actually not really living himself because of,
yeah.
And he believed it,
yeah.
I'm sure, at one time, but he'd endured enough hardship,
yes,
that there was a significant disconnect. And let's just talk about that. We have to take a break here in a couple minutes, and I'd love to pick up that idea on the other side, Jim, because, you know, our theology can sound really good if it's not tested, but once it's tested, we got to decide if we believe this stuff. And that's where lots of people,
yes,
downgrade their theology rather than wrestling with what they're feeling about it. What say you?
So true. It's so true, because we get teaching, great teaching, from the Word or from other speakers and this kind of thing, and we end up saying it. We end up speaking it out. And I'm not saying it's not true. It is true. But unless we've lived it, right, unless we have gone through that fire, once the fire comes, then a lot of times people stop living it, they've never lived it, so they stop believing it, and their theology does back down, and suddenly God is not that infinitely loving Father. And so Jake, you're right, is a motivational speaker, and he's been given this message for years very successfully, but he's never had to go through the crucible of what he's talking about, and now he does.
Okay, we're going to pause there. When we come back, I'm going to open the phone lines up. I would love to hear from you. Maybe what are you feeling like of your past, even in this past year, that you're dragging with you that you've not reconciled? Jim and I both love to pray with friends. We can maybe just talk with you, pray with you about it. We've got 3 copies of Jim's book and a couple other copies of one of his older novels. So if you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And then if you've got a question for Jim then, or a comment, put it in the email as well. But we want to open the phone lines up just to chat with you. You can call anonymously. What part of your story feels like it's not yet redeemed? You're waiting for God to do a new work in you. 877-933-2484. And we will be back in a minute. Hope you're having a great day. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend, best-selling author, award-winning author, Jim Rubart. James Rubart to you. He's got a brand new novel titled The Long Journey to Jake Palmer. This was one I told him before the show that I read during my time off, and I absolutely loved it. I think it's good. I think it's one of my favorites of Jim's books. I've got a few copies. Love to get one into your hands. If you need some really thought-provoking fiction, I would love to get one into your hands. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So we were saying before the break, setting up this story, this Jake, the main character, gets in a horrible accident. His wife leaves him over it, and he's a motivational speaker. So before the accident, he was a successful motivational speaker, and he sounds like he believed so much of what he's saying. But then he had to work once he came back from this accident. And yet he was internally so conflicted, he really wasn't believing the things that he was saying. Talk, if you would, about just that process for us as Christians. We started to say, when we get into the crucible, it really does show what we believe. And talk to that person, in fact, Jim, who's listening today going, you know, I've settled back and I've allowed the disconnect to be there. I've not wrestled with it because I'm so disappointed that God has let me walk through this thing.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing, because they are disappointed. They're disappointed in God. They cannot believe he's allowing them to walk through this. And here's the reality, Susie. In our life, we are addicted. And I don't think that's too strong of a word. We are addicted to so many things. This past spring, a friend of mine gave me this book. He recommended this book to me, Addiction and Grace. And I thought, well, that's not for me. Because to me, you know, addiction is heroin, or you're an alcoholic, or you're hooked on porn or something like that. And it's like, well, that's not me. And I said, Darcy, you know, do you want this book for me? And she goes, no, because I was going to go be a mentor at a men's retreat. This is so you'll understand the guys you're mentoring. And I start reading this book and I realize, Susie, I'm addicted to so many things. I'm addicted to, you know, email. Get up in the first thing in the morning, it's like, oh, I'd like to check my email and see what's going on there. Or maybe you're addicted to Facebook. Maybe you're addicted to your kids. Maybe you're addicted to your spouse. There are so many things. Another way to say addiction is idols. But idols is a word that we have said so often that it doesn't have the impact. If we say we're addicted to something, in other words, is there something we go to for life other than this knowledge that we have, this Abba, this daddy, this father that loves us so incomprehensibly? When we get our life from that, oh my gosh, then the storms of life become minor, because we know who we are in Christ. And so I guess that's a long way of saying God is a loving enough father that he is not going to let those addictions fill us. He is going to make us face the truth that if we put our life into anything other than him first, it's losing.
Yeah. In fact, it's so interesting because I didn't even know the conversation would go this direction. We prayed that God would lead us, but hour two we're talking about,
right.
Isn't that amazing? Hour two we're talking about counterfeit comforts and our default places that we go to numb us through the moment, medicate us through the moment so we don't have to feel.
Right.
You know, and this, your character works so hard not to feel things. And again, we don't fault him because we do the very same thing. What is it that we're so afraid of? Because we all need internal healing at some point and multiple times.
Here's what we're afraid of. We are afraid, and I don't want to give away the book, and I don't think this is giving it away, but because this is something Jake deals with deep, deep, deep down. His greatest wound is he's not enough. And I think all of us feel that way. We put this pressure on ourselves to say, I am not enough for my kids. I am not enough for my spouse. I am not enough for my boss. I am not enough for my friends. And we believe that. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not short enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not muscled enough. I'm not accomplished enough. I'm not enough, not enough, not enough. And so we try to get that worth from all these other things, because I think fundamentally, so many of us have this problem where we still see God as saying, well, yeah, I guess because of Jesus, I got to let you in, right? Instead of a father that is standing at the window, right? Prodigal son, standing at the window, looking, searching every moment, just looking, looking, looking. Oh my gosh, there he is on the horizon. There she is on the horizon, my lost daughter. Comes out of the house and he's sprinting, you know, go into the story and read it, sprinting towards us. And it says, you know, you read the translation and it says, and the father kissed him. Well, that's not a great translation. The better translation would be rained down kisses on him, right? So this is the heart of our father. This is the heart of our Abba. And if we knew that, then we'd go, oh my gosh, are you saying I'm enough for God? Yes, I am. Yes, I am saying that. And once we know that, all this trying to be enough for other people just starts to melt away. And I'm not saying I'm there, Susie, but I'm starting to get hints of that, you know?
Wow. And there's just nothing as freeing as that. Scripture says that the heavens gasp when they see us drinking from broken cisterns that cannot satisfy, because we've been given this pure, unpolluted, beautiful, life-giving stream from Jesus himself, and we're like, no, we'll just drink the muddy water. I'll just have the water with the dirt and the grime in it. You know what I mean? And and maybe this isn't even the best analogy, but I had to think about it when you and I've talked about this, I think the first time you came on, but I marveled at the way you managed your career. I've told more people the story about you, Jim, because it's like there was years ago, I met you at a writer's conference. You could have been published right away. And I didn't hear from you for a while. Then you come up with a major publisher and a best-selling book. And how you talked to me about this was that there was a mentor, a friend, a lot of writers know him, Cecil Murphy. Was that him? Was it Cecil?
Yes,
who
kind of
took you under his wing, and he said, you know, you're a good writer. I can make you a great writer. And you had the restraint to be teachable and to be taught. And you made such a big splash when you hit the scene. I feel like that's a word picture for us, Jim, where we go so often, I need to be validated. So I would get published with a small house before I would wait and cultivate my craft. That's just a word picture, but I think we do it in so many ways, where if we could wait on the Lord, push pause for that default thing and say, God, you make much of me. I mean, what he would do and what he wants to do is so much greater than our measly little pebble in the pond, you know?
Yes, let me give you that is so good, Susie, and that is exactly right. We do have a loving Father, so far, so more loving than we can imagine. And if we can fix that in our heads and we can trust that and believe that, our life changes, because circumstances may not change at all, but our perspective changes, and that's everything, right? Jesus is in the boat. And he's sleeping. And these waves, I mean, it's a storm, to the point that the disciples go, whoa, we're going to drown, we're going to drown. Jesus wakes up and goes, I don't see the problem. What do you mean you don't see the problem? The boat is being swamped. We're about to all drown. What do you mean you don't see the problem? And Jesus says, you know, calms the storm, calms the waves. And he goes, wow, guys, we could use the word faith, or we could say, wow, guys, where is your perspective? Don't you understand? Don't you understand that you have a Father that is so madly in love with you? Even if you were to die, you know what? That would be okay. It would truly be okay, because now if you died, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That would be the most glorious thing, because back to the verse of, you have no idea what God's prepared for you. You have no idea how good it's going to be. So suddenly, if we have that perspective that God knows what he's doing, even in the horrible things we go through, and I've had a tough year. I've had a tough couple of years. You've had a tough fall, Susie, with what you've gone through, right?
Yeah.
But if we can look at it with his perspective and go, maybe God is in this. Maybe God's doing something. And not to ramble on too long, but I'll give you a specific example. We moved,
You have to pause, because I don't want to miss that story, and we have a hard break. So you have to, if you want to hear what Jim's about to say, you're going to have to hang on. This is our hard break at the bottom, and I don't want to cut you off. Talking to Jim Rubart, we've got a few copies of this book. I want you to snuggle up with a blanket and a hot cup of cocoa and read The Long Journey to Jake Palmer. I actually really believe some inner healing will happen for you as you read this, as to how Jake really finds out how God sees him. That's what I was going to say. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Jim Rubart when we come back.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
Boy, that's a perfect song for the story that Jim just started to tell. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend, best-selling author, award-winning author, speaker James Rubart. We're celebrating the release of his newest novel, The Long Journey to Jake Palmer. It's just such a great, great story, and it really compels you to think, inwardly and to look upward and to consider what kinds of inner healing that God still wants to do for you, and things he maybe a new perspective on how you maybe frame your disappointments. And Jim, before the break, you started to tell a story. I'd love for you just to start there and take it, if you would.
Okay, yeah. It's a quick one, but I think it's poignant, and that is Darcy and I moved. And so we're living in a new town. We know one couple really well, and we really don't know anybody else. And for me, Christmas time is that time where you get together with friends, you get together with family, you're going to parties, and you're hanging out, and you're telling stories. And of course, without really knowing anybody, that's not happening here. But we did get invited to this one party. Well, it turned out that I already had a commitment where I was going up to see my son in Bellingham, which was great. But it's like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? I want to be around people this season. And I was talking to my friend Ted on the phone, and he goes, well, that's pretty interesting, is it? What do you mean? Well, are you surrendering to that? What do you mean surrendering it to? Are you surrendering to where you're at and just staying in the contentment of Christ? Because in Christ, right? Follow me here. In Christ. There are no problems. You're complete in Christ. Jesus says you are complete in Christ because we have Christ. He has made us pure and holy before the Father. So in that state, with the mind of Christ, I'm like, hey, that's no big deal. It's okay. And he goes, isn't that loving of your Father to put you in a circumstance where instead of trying to fix it and make it work and find parties to go to and people to get to go together with, isn't it wonderful that your Father, Abba, loves you enough to go, you know what, I'm enough. You don't need those parties. Those parties would be great frosting on the cake, but please don't make them the cake, Jim. And it was just, what a lesson, right? Wow. What a lesson to go, I've been given this time with Darcy, just Darcy and I. Isn't that wonderful? So
that is a great story, and I think maybe somebody needed to hear that today, especially in the holiday season, Jim, where we put expectations on everything has to be perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had a dime for how many times people said, everything has to be perfect. And my mentor always says, expectation is premeditated disappointment. You know what I mean?
That's good.
Isn't it?
We're
setting a bullseye, and it's like, it better turn out this way. So we're setting ourselves up to be disappointed. And I feel again and again, God is saying, the things you think will make you okay, you already have in me a million times over. And somehow, somewhere, we've got to figure that out. As much as you're able, can you share what this last year's been like for you?
It's really been the last, it'll be 3 years this January where some of you know this because I've been on Susie's show before, but, 20,000-pound, 130-foot tree went through our house, almost killed my wife, almost killed my son, and that just upended everything about life. And my wife went through PTSD, and we've been dealing with that and dealing with, some of the challenges that she's been going through. And then you move to a new town, and you're working through those issues. And then I've had some of my marketing clients leave, and you kind of go, wow, this is a storm. What do you do in the midst of that storm? Do you say, it's okay. It's okay, because I have an Abba that loves me. Or do you rise up and try to fix things, poking at Jesus, going, help, help, help. Are you focusing on those waves? Are you focusing on the boat? Are you going, you know what? Here's the reality about life. Here is the hard, hard reality. And the great message of the gospel is, folks, if you put your faith in that boat, if that's where you put your faith, ultimately the boat is going to sink or rot or a hole is going to spring in it. Ultimately, that boat is not going to save you. Ultimately, you have to take that radical, crazy, makes no sense step to do what Peter did and get out of the boat and go, you know what? Jesus, out there on the waves, it doesn't make sense. That's the only salvation for every problem. The only salvation is utter and complete surrender to him.
Mm. Well, if I were to ask you, Jim, what deeper truths you're taking with you as a result of this year, I mean, sometimes there's things that we know and you just picture his hand pushing it into our soil going, okay, know this deeper. And sometimes there are fresh revelations of things we didn't know. What about you?
Yeah, I guess I would say, and this comes through, I went on a guy's getaway with two friends of mine. Colorado, in the mountains of Colorado for 3 days, no cell phone. It was great. And we just talked about some of these deeper things of life. And the real revelation that came out of that is something that I think we know, but so often we don't live out of. And that is, and I don't mean to get all mystical on you, but I am hidden with Christ. right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hidden with Christ. The scripture teaches us that. Scripture teaches us that we are complete in Christ. You can't be more complete than complete, right? I am redeemed by the blood. I am saved. I am an eternal being that has been glorified, not coming up when I die. I've been glorified now because scripture tells us that I am seated, not in the future. I am seated right now in heavenly places with Christ. And so you start thinking about that. You go, wait a minute. What is that saying? And then Jesus prays this crazy prayer where he says, Father, as I am in you and you are in me, I want it to be the same way with them. I'm in them, they are in me. And so suddenly you go, oh my gosh, I am in Christ and Christ is in me to a degree. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. You go, oh my gosh, there's a true gem, a real gem, an authentic gem, the Christ gem that I don't think about much. And my gosh, is that Christ, Jim? Is he worried and threatened and fretting and striving and trying? It's like, no, he's doing great. He's at peace because he is wrapped up. He is hidden in Christ from all the storms. He is hidden in Christ. He is with Abba. He is, man, he's fine. But, you know, Paul talks about it in Romans 7 where he goes, you know, that sin that's still going on, that's not me. That is not me. That's sin in me. The real me, oh my gosh, it's great, it's complete, it's done, it's finished because of Christ. And so, to bring this to a conclusion, Susie, I'm learning to live moments at time in the real, true, authentic, seated with him in heavenly places, Jim, instead of this Jim that is still struggling with the sin in him.
Boy, it makes me think also of Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Right.
And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is something for all of us to apprehend, Jim, because, you know, we live in that tension. I mean, you know, I think Paul also is saying, you know, who will save me from this? Because I feel a slave to sin, and yet the spirit in me wants to do something else. But our minds, either, as he says, are set on the flesh or set on the spirit. And so often we set, we go back to what disrupts us, makes us uncomfortable. We set our minds on our flesh as far as what can I do to get out of this really quick? Where to set our minds on the spirit is to say, what would please your heart in the midst of my need, Lord? What would please your heart right now? Because what would please his heart would be life to us and through us, right?
Yes, exactly. If we say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about what feeds me. Lord, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to surrender through this incredible love that is not out there. It's in me because Christ is in me. Like you said, I'm not even really alive anymore. I'm not alive. I've been crucified. It's Christ who lives in me. And if we surrender to that and we grasp that love, guess what happens? The amazing thing that happens is then suddenly we turn around and we start loving people like we've never loved them before. And ultimately, that is the mark of a Christian. Do you love? How do you love? You know, Jesus talks about this. Paul talks about this in Corinthians where he goes, oh my gosh, burn your body, memorize all the scripture, know all the doctrine. And if you don't love, it's nothing. And so if we know who we are in Christ, if we know Abba's love, we know how comprehensible it is. If we know that love, we cannot help but turn around and love our brothers and sisters and everyone in the world.
So good. Okay, so for that person who's walking through a time where they feel there's a disconnect between what they're saying with their mouth because they learned it in church, they learned it in Sunday school, but what they believe in their heart because of how experiences have impacted them and how life has beat them up, what advice do you have to help them reconcile those two things again?
I would go back to, that's exactly what my book is all about, because ultimately that person that's going through that, they are beating themselves up, right? All these circumstances in life are coming at them. They're getting beat up because of that, but ultimately they're beating themselves up and they are judging themselves so harshly. This is going to sound really simple, but the message I want to give them is it's okay. It's okay. You have a heavenly Father that is racing out of that door as soon as he sees you coming toward him, i.e. surrender, is raining down kisses on you, going, grab the ring, kill the calf. It's a party. It's a celebration. She's home. She's home. And I don't think that happens one time. We go throughout the day choosing to surrender to him or not, choosing to pick up our cross, which is what? What is our cross? I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. We are choosing to die to ourselves, and we are choosing to surrender to his love. And when that happens, again, I'm not saying, I'm saying, Susie, I get this in snippets, right? Just moments of time. But I'm slowly starting to learn that that is the only way out. The only way out is complete surrender to his love.
And just to be clear, dying to ourselves is not berating ourselves. It's not kicking ourselves. And yet we so rarely die to ourselves, but we do diminish ourselves. And I feel like this is an important distinction because we're our own worst enemy at times. We hold ourselves in contempt. And that is so different than surrendering. As you say, we surrender for the sake of having new life rise up in us again, right?
Well, yeah, that, I'm so glad you brought that up, because when we surrender to his love, what do we step into? We step into the true, authentic Susie, the true, authentic Jim. And the true, authentic Susie and the true, authentic Jim is the one that is seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so suddenly, when you step into that, you become more than you ever imagined you could be. I'm going to ask a question to your listeners, and some of them are going to get this, and that is, have you ever had an image of yourself where you just thought, oh my gosh, that person is so awesome, so complete, so wonderful, so we've had snippets of that, right? Mm. That's the true person. Why? Why? And I'm not trying to glorify ourselves, and yet we are glorified. Why?
In Christ.
We see through a glass dimly, right? Mm-hmm. We see this reflection in each other, Corinthians. And oh my gosh, are you not thrilled when you see a friend or a spouse or a child coming into their glory? Yes, you are, because you see all they could be. And that's our loving Father saying, oh my gosh, Jim, you want to be the true Jim? Then step into me, surrender to me, and you will become, you will walk away from the things that seem so enticing, and you will walk into this being, this Christ Jim being, that is everything you ever imagined you could be.
I've said, I shared this story before. We've got one more break here in just a moment, but during the worst parts of my health battle, I have an amazing doctor. Actually, I have him on the show once a month. He's a great Christian guy, too. And he said, you know, healing can't happen without surrender. And he could tell that I'd been holding myself in contempt for my physical weakness. I hadn't even realized I'd been doing that. And he said, Susie, at some point, you've got to accept yourself, your limitations. You won't find God's strength in them. And he said, you just need to open your hands and you need to say, I accept me and I trust you. And I'm telling you, that unlocked something so deep in me. And yet maybe you're listening today, you don't relate to the health thing, but you have your own limitations, rules and laws you put on yourself. And when you go outside those laws, you berate yourself, you hold yourself in contempt. And well, I don't know, Jim, maybe we suggest to our listeners to cross over to this next year, leaving self-contempt behind, you know?
I love that.
Well, let's pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about just Jim's prayed-for takeaway for The Long Journey to Jake Palmer. That's his new novel. And if you've liked our conversation, you'll love his book. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. We also have an amazing, epic writers' conference coming up this summer. And I think Jim's somebody you want to get some advice from. So, Jim, I'm going to ask you for some writer advice for someone who's even preparing to go to a conference like that. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Wherever you are, Merry Christmas. It could be oh so cold. 2 feet of snow, streets all covered with white. Baby, you and me, Rockefeller tree, magic in the air tonight.
Hope you're having a great day. You can tell I've been enjoying the Danny Gokey Christmas album. Love it. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good buddy Jim Rubart. James Rubart, he's a best-selling, award-winning novelist and an amazing, wonderful man of God. We're celebrating his new novel, The Long Journey to Jake Palmer, and it's just a fascinating novel. But I love novels that do something in me as well. And this was one that just compelled me many times to just look up and pray, search God, search my own heart for any unfinished business. We all have unfinished business. So, Jim, what's your hope for takeaway for your friends who will be reading this book?
I guess in the end, what I would hope for people, and this is all my books, is I want them to step away with more freedom, but specifically the freedom that I want them to find in this book is release from all those expectations that have always been on them all their lives that come from teachers and coaches and parents and friends and spouses and children, and ultimately all those expectations that come from themselves. Mm-hmm. I want them to be free of that.
Boy, that's so good. Imagine what we could get done for the kingdom and how we could enjoy belly laughs and lemonade stands and cliff jumping, too, if we could sort of get over ourselves that way and know that more rests on his shoulders than on ours. You know what I mean?
It all rests on his shoulders. Isn't that the amazing part of the gospel?
True. Yeah.
He took it all.
His yoke is easy and his burden is light, for sure.
Yes.
So, you know, for those who would love an inside look at a guy's life like you, a writer's life, maybe tell us some things about this author journey that people might not know. Some of the highs and lows, some of the things you love, some of the things that are just gut-wrenchingly hard.
Yeah, the joke is, if you want to be a writer, let me give you some advice having gone through it. And you're a writer too, you know this, Susie. It's get a really good pair of running shoes, put them on, and then run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. Because that's my writerly advice. No, and I say that because it is a difficult journey. It is an extremely difficult journey. You know, I play guitar, Susie, I think you know that. And I could entertain your audience for probably 30 minutes and they'd laugh and they'd say, wow, that was really good. But there's no way they would go out and buy one of my CDs. I'm just not that good. It would take me years to get that good to do it. Well, it's the same thing in writing. It's a craft like anything else that you have to study and you have to really drill down. You're not going to be a great writer in 2 or 3 years. I mean, if you're starting this journey, you have to say, hey, I'm going to dedicate, 5 to 10 years of my life to this before I'm ready. And so I guess my point there is, number one, that's bad news because it's really hard. It's good news. It's really good news because most people are not willing to put in that effort and that time.
You know, that's exactly true. And you've served on faculty before, so have I. And what they say is for the few at a conference, because some get, they bring their manuscript in and it's marked in red, and then they're turned away just saying, you're not ready. I mean, I've seen plenty of people crying over their lunch going, this was so much harder than I thought. But for the few that get the business card saying, you've got an idea here, send me a proposal. Do you know that 75% of those folks never walk through that door? I mean, it could be fear, it could be postponing, procrastination. But so even so, even though the doorway or the window or whatever isn't that huge, so many aren't willing to go through it.
Yeah. It's terrifying because they think that's them on the page. And the reality is, in a big way, it is them on the page. And that's really, really, really hard. But people who are going to your conference coming up, and I encourage you to do it. I've looked at the faculty, and it's just an outstanding faculty for you folks that are writers out there. But I just want to say, and this is important because I did not know this until I got a ways into the industry. But the editors and the agents and the other authors that you're going to be meeting with, they want to help you. They are not your adversary in any way, shape, or form. Agents and editors are desperate to find that next great writer, so they truly, truly want to help you. And if you're willing to take that advice and go back and work on it, if you have that teachable spirit, I'm telling you, talent is so overrated. It is not the amazingly talented writer that gets published. It's the writer that says, you know what, I'm willing to work at this and work at it hard and then work at it even harder.
Boy, that is fantastic. It really, really is. And so someone who maybe has a pie in the sky idea that I want the big platform without the prize or the process, just to let you know, you're in for a rude awakening because it's just behind the scenes. It is nose to the grindstone for a lot of time. I mean, truly, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really isn't. And here's the other thing. That's okay. And I'll tell you why it's okay. Because I'm sure in life, Susie, you've gotten some things where it's just kind of like it was plopped into your lap. All of us have from time to time. We get that thing. And we really don't value it. The things we value are the things that we really worked hard for. And so don't shirk this in your writing career. Work hard for it. Because when you get there, you will go, wow, I'm almost more satisfied with the work I did to get here than the actual end. And you hear this cliche all the time. Hey, the journey is where it's at, not reaching the goal. But that's true. It's true.
And maybe you can maybe speak to this, but a couple piece of advice too for that friend who's thinking of going. I would say don't hyper-spiritualize your pitch to your editor or agent or whatever to say, you know, God wrote this book, I didn't write this book. And of course, we totally lean on the Holy Spirit's help. But if you hyper-spiritualize it, it sounds like you don't have an idea, or it sounds like you need me on your team. Those kinds of approaches never work. What say you, Jim?
I just add the word ever, never, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
They just don't. What an editor or an agent wants is for somebody to come up and go, you know what? Gosh, I've got this passion inside me. I can't not write. I've just got to do that, and I am so willing to learn. And I've got an idea. Love to throw it out to you. I'd love your honest reaction to it because I'm committed to this and I want to improve. I mean, that would be so refreshing. Mm. And again, those editors and agents, they truly do. They want to help you. And authors, you know, I won Mentor of the Year at ACFW this year for, you know, just helping other people out. And when I gave my acceptance speech, I said, you know, truly this award, the reason I help so many people that might be a few steps back on the road is because so many people helped me when I was starting out. So it's a way for me to thank them. And I know so many other people feel that way. They want to say thank you to the mentors that they had, needed the Steve Murphys and all these folks. So I'm going to help people behind me. Well, agents and editors and other authors, they want to do the same thing for you. Mm.
Yes, that is so true. I mean, when you're kingdom-minded, you want everybody to flourish because there's more work than workers.
Yes,
That's what Jesus says. Pray for more workers. Don't be threatened by the few, you know? So,
right.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half before we pray. Are you able to share what you're working on next or give us a sense of where you sense God's taking you just overall?
Yeah, I actually just signed a new contract with HarperCollins Christian Publishing, so Thomas Nelson, most people know them as. So I am right in the middle of my next book, and it's about a man who returns to his family after he vanished 2.5 years ago, and he has absolutely no memory of the time. Well, he wasn't a great guy before he left, but now he's radically changed, right? Mm-hmm. He's truly become a loving man. But as his memories of the time away start to slowly return, so does his old character.
Oh, my.
So,
that is fantastic. I'm excited about that
one.
Interesting. So when does it release? Do you have a release date yet?
I don't. My suspicion is it's probably going to release about a year from now, probably next November.
Wow. Well, Lord willing, we look forward to bringing you back to talk about that as well. Jim, I really treasure you as a brother and a co-laborer. Thank you for the time. I wonder if you pray for that person today. We talked about earlier, that person who's really got a huge disconnect between what they say they believe because they feel they ought to say it. They know it's Christian doctrine, but it's not been their reality and their experience in their heart because of hardship. Would you pray for that person?
I would love to. Oh, Abba, who loves us beyond all comprehension, I pray that you would make known Christ in them. I pray you would speak truth to them, wisdom to them. Revelation, James says that we can ask for that kind of wisdom and revelation, and we ask for that now inside that person that's going, boy, I'm disconnected. My faith is dead. I'm not knowing you like I want to. Show them who they are in Christ. Show them who they are in Christ. And most of all, Lord, show them how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm,
amen. Well, Merry, Merry Christmas to you, dear brother, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you. I love being with you. Thank you.
I look forward to having you back. Title of Jim's new novel is The Long Journey to Jake Palmer. If you want in the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm. Mm-hmm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me, and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
In the eye of the storm, he remains in control. You know what? He's bigger than we know. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, it's really a continuation of this conversation, talking to Robia Scott about counterfeit comforts, freedom from the imposters that keep you from true peace, purpose, and passion. It's going to be another great conversation. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.